Welcome to Running Stories. My name is Paolo, and I am a passionate runner. Running marathons transformed my life many years ago. I have discovered that runners have amazing stories to tell. Those stories are healing stories and stories that help. Running Stories is a radio show broadcasting some of these stories and giving voice to runners from the Run Forever Running Club, which welcomes anyone learning to run, not just the wall of the marathoner, but walls of any kind. These people dream to run forever. But I'm pure in all my thoughts, I'm alive. So, hello everyone. Here Paolo, I'm today with Uche Osondu, who is a good friend. I just met him a couple of weeks ago when we gave a presentation at RGU with Stephanie Morrison and Mark Pope. We have been invited to introduce a few ideas of Run Forever, what we are doing in the prison, and in particular through the perspective of health. And Uche is a student there and got in touch with us. And I'm very happy for that. So I'm very curious to know a lot of things from him. So thank you, Uche. And if you wanted to give a little bit of presentation about yourself, and then please give us a background of your life, why you are interested in Run Forever. I'm really, really curious. So please tell us.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paolo. So I am a dentist. I'm from Nigeria. I came over to Aberdeen in January of 2024 for my master's of science in public health and health promotion. It's been a long road coming here from dentistry. I decided after my internship year after school that I just couldn't do clinical practice. It felt like a stopgap. You know, you're trying to help patients with whatever problems they have, but you find out that, okay, for example, if you look at it, dental care, most of it isn't seen as part of national insurance. And that's not just in Nigeria, it's across the world. I saw a news thing recently where they were saying that even here in the UK, if you go to the emergency services, you don't get to see a dentist if you come in with like an emergency dental problem. And that's simply just because dentistry is seen more as a cosmetic thing. And as a practicing dentist, that is not just, you know, it makes it to me, when I look at health as a whole, it seems sort of insulting to see dentistry as just an aesthetic thing. We use our mouths to talk, we use them to eat. And so if you have pain in your mouth, that affects your health. Like, so to consider the practice as aesthetics to the point where it's not seen as an emergency to be put in health insurance and you have to pay out of pocket and their little thing, they start separating things. Becomes very so that was one of the first issues I had. So I decided to say, okay, fine, I'm going to public health in Nigeria. So I did a 1 year internship experience with the Nigerian Center for Disease and Control, where I was working on health emergency preparedness and response. So what we used to do was the NCDC has this network of health emergency operation centers in every state so that they can help to prepare for outbreaks, control outbreaks, and things like that. And it's a very fascinating and wonderful idea. I had a great time working there,
Okay.
great people there. But again, I could see during my travels that you have this thing where there is such a loss of connection between the federal coordinating body and, principal actors in the states, in the local governments. There's a disconnect. Either they are not meeting, they're not able to meet at the same point, or they just have vastly different needs, where people at federal are more concerned about numbers, how do we show that this is working so that we can prove that we need more grants to get this done, while the people in the local governments are just concerned about, what does this mean for my quality of life? What does this, the intangibles, how does this affect my own daily life living? And that disconnect for me, puts me in a state where I started to see health as something a lot bigger, a lot bigger. You want to find out that things are health is not just well-being, is not just health, is also political. Health is a lot of finance, health is a lot of so many things. And and then with my own personal experience, having struggled with my mother's death and the way she was treated for over the course of 1 year within the health system, I just realized that when we have a system that doesn't ensure or optimize for human connection, which I feel is very important, then we're going to have those kind of places where people feel alienated in their care, where people feel they're not getting the best of care. And so for 2 years after that, I was unemployed, just thinking of what to do, because I had moved from one thing to another. I've moved from practicing dentistry, I've done, working in NCDC, and none of it was working. I still didn't feel that fulfillment. I didn't, what I was looking for, I couldn't see it. It felt like I was just wasting my time,
So did you find then the path to come to Scotland, and the opportunity to come here, and how do you find that coming here could help with the issues you're mentioning?
Okay, so one of the issues I found back home is that, as personally, because Nigeria is where it's at as a country, there's a tendency to be primed for, trying to find a very, nice is not the word, but I'm trying to find a very concise way to put it. There's a tendency for Nigerians to focus on the basic amenities. You look at the exchange rate now to the country against the pound, you look at it against the dollar, the country isn't doing so well. There's a lot of unrest, a lot of all that. So when it comes to talking about things as health being not just the absence of disease, it sort of seems far-fetched to me. So you hear
It
things like,
seems, sorry, can you say it again?
it seems far-fetched to,
Okay.
yeah, because once you don't have to go to the hospital in Nigeria, you are well, you are healthy. So nobody, once you can eat, you can put a roof over your head, you are healthy. And for two
Unless you're
years,
really, really terribly ill, and then you go to the hospital, and then
exactly.
you're You have some health issues.
Exactly. But for 2 years where I was, unemployed, I usually say during those 2 years, I was living off the kindness of others, of the kindness of my friends, of the kindness of my family, who helped to, provide me with food, some shelter. I didn't really have to worry about that
Understand
in
very
order.
well, yeah.
So, I I wouldn't say that I was healthy. I wasn't healthy,
That's a good point, yes.
wasn't healthy. So I knew that those were things. So coming over to Scotland, I'm very interested in finding that people are. So, for example, I noticed that Scotland has a document for tackling social isolation and loneliness. In my first assessment, I've been looking at loneliness, and I even joked to one of my friends back home that as a because I write leisurely, so I joked to him
That's
that
what I
as
wanted to ask you, actually. You mentioned before, so I'm really curious. I think it's a really interesting thing you're doing. So can you say a little bit what you do with your blog? You're writing letters to yourself once a month, and I'm really interested in that. Yeah.
So I
It's a
write.
practice of health. Don't you think that this is a really practice of care to yourself?
I have never thought of it like that. So my blog and my writing has always just been, I think in the first letter of the first letter of my blog, where I introduce the series of letters, I call the blog A Life of Letters.
A life
It's
of
basically,
letters.
yes, it's
Okay.
basically chronicling my life in letters, and I write that I write to connect. I see my writing as a way to connect not just with myself, but with other people who tend to feel the same way. Which is why I joked with my friend that now that I'm studying a master's, while I have been, exploring loneliness literary,
Because
as a
you're
writer.
here alone,
Yes,
Uche.
I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah. So, sorry, can I just say a few things while you're talking? I don't
Also,
want to interrupt
oh no,
your talk and the
definitely,
flow of
definitely.
your talk,
Oh
but
no, definitely.
actually, since actually one of the idea of having this conversation and maybe sharing this conversation also with others could be to frame it within. Within Run Forever, in a sense, with what we do with Run Forever. And actually, I see immediately some good points that might match with what we do. So this idea that you are having of trying to you write letters to yourself every month and you have a blog. So I was thinking to prisoners being inside and sick. For sure, experiencing loneliness and solitude. And since you were asking, because the purpose also of this conversation, when you first got in touch with me and with us, was because you felt some interest in what we are doing, and if there was any possibility of collaboration or something to develop together. And I think that an approach that we wanted to actually have in this, even in this conversation, is not to make an interview to yourself. It's not that. It's actually to try to learn together. So we are not. I'm not actually. I don't know yet where we are going with this conversation. And you asked, how can we possibly collaborate? And I don't have an answer, but I would like to use maybe this conversation to understand together what are the interest, the things that probably bring us together and learn together and maybe open other possibilities of opening branches, new branches to Run Forever. So I don't know if one of the points, there might be other points now that we continue in this conversation, but this first one immediately caught is catching my attention because it's really an interesting practice. It's very biographical, and actually it links to some of the background that I also have in the interesting stories and biographies. What we do with running stories is actually collecting stories of people, and your story is so interesting in that sense, and maybe can foster other stories. I don't know, maybe we can think to something to propose in the prison, this idea of a blog of letters, maybe letters from runners, I don't know, something connects inside and outside, I don't know.
Yeah,
Did you have
I
already
think
maybe
that would
thoughts about
be,
that?
yeah, I think that would be nice. You know, maybe if working, I think if the that means those the runners that are interested can write like letters about maybe at the end of the month their experiences. So yes, we do. If I don't know how possible it will be for them to write in the prisons, but if it's something that they are willing to do, just to write at the end of the month, or you know, about the sessions, you know, what they liked about the sessions, how they felt about the sessions, or just their month in general, how the running helped improve their month, what they would like to see going forward. I think that would be something to.
We can probably, I don't know, one thing that can immediately come to mind is a kind of newsletter or a running magazine. It can develop in many, many, many ways. But basically, this idea of trying to encourage runners to see running not just as a sport activity, a physical activity. For sure it is, and it's great, but it's also something that can touch on different levels. And the opportunity of writing, bringing more thoughts, reflection on what you do as a practice, I think would be really interesting. So I'm at this point, maybe can you just more directly tell us what interests you in Run Forever? What attracted you?
So I think what drew me to Run Forever was one, you know, the way the prisoners are being seen. You know, they have you've the program doesn't see them as sort of inmates or convicts, you know. You just see them as people who are participating in this activity with you. There's this emphasis of, you know, running together in one direction, you know. You're running with them, you know. It's not a thing that is being done to them, you know. It's just for what it is, it's just running. So it's more than running, but it's just running. If I could put it like that, you know, and in that it serves to what I find is that in engaging people like that in doing just doing an activity together, you find that it allows people to have because I find life is very uncertain. So if you know you have once a week every activity that you can count on to provide some certain stability in your week can be a very good reference, you know, for you to build, especially when you're trying to heal, when you're trying to recover from things, you know, if you just have one activity that you look forward to every week, you know, with the company of people, it does a lot. And that's why I was very interested in the data, you know, because usually that kind of data is not something that big organizations like to ask for or even put into cognizance when they are talking about what's the impact of this thing because it's just so like I said basically it just provides a great and that was what drew me you know having it every Wednesday so it's fixed you know. So everybody knows that on Wednesday we're going to run. I'm going to see these people again. And you know, it's just going to be running. I get a chance to just run. You know, it's really good. I think that was the very major thing. Then the idea about the podcast also was a good idea as well that thought about it. But majorly it was, you know, that idea of providing a positive frame, you know, to center your especially for convicts, it's a focus for them to point, you know, and revolve their week around like, oh, what day of the week is it? Okay, I ran like 2 days ago, so that means it's probably today's probably Friday. So like even when they've lost track of time, they know that I run every Wednesday, so I can count on that. And that's just yeah, that was.
Going back to what you were talking about before about health, well, I can immediately see, at least from my point of view, I want to know also what you think that this, what you said, running is a very simple practice, just what attracted you is just that we go there, probably just, myself, I go there every Wednesday and I give them a kind of stable point of reference for the week. And we don't spend too much time in, teaching because we are not teaching, but we are actually running together in the same direction. And many things happen just when you run, many conversations, but also just basically being together. So before you were mentioning, you were talking about something totally different. So the experience of health in Nigeria and being hospitalized, and then of course if you are hospitalized, then you have some health problems. If you are not hospitalized, you don't have any health problems. So this big separation between being healthy and not being healthy. So what we do actually by running together, from my point of view, bridges exactly the inside being hospitalized and being outside when you are healthy. So the distinction between being healthy and not being healthy is actually bridged by that possibility of running where you try to be healthy. You try to become healthy. So being healthy is not a state that you reach and then finally you are healthy, but you are continuously trying to become healthier and healthier. So that's my take on what you were saying, and I'm trying, to bring together the things you said
No,
and what I think we try to do with Run for. I don't know if you have further thoughts about this.
I would also think, I think so also in, if I would just add, is where I see it being a contributing to health also, as as a way of well-being, is just in also trying to be healthy. It provides that space. I think in the presentation you mentioned someone who after a couple of running sessions said he was going to call his father who
That
has 2-1
is
in.
that, yeah.
So that is a very good way of promoting health, because for you to make want to make that connection, you feel that with that in mind, have just having the ability to run with people, talk to them every day. Okay, now I can talk to someone who I haven't spoken to in a long time. It's like you say, it's creating that process, it's making that process available for people. You want even though the system isn't trying to encourage it, but by being there, by showing up, it allows people to, because I feel like the human body is generally fascinating, and if given the chance, our bodies will heal themselves, right? So I feel that Run Forever provides that way, that gives that chance, that boost, that have a go at healing yourself. And that's what that example, said to me. It's just with constantly running with someone, talking with someone every day, reminding the person that, it's this, let's run together, let's do something together. It allows them to want to go and have a go at mending other relationships. Once one thing, people always say, sometimes they like to, I think it's a bad example, but they like to say that, in order to love others, you must be able to love yourself. While I don't think it's true, I think there is, why I don't think it's totally true, I think there is some truth in it, in that, it gives you a good foundation to start from. So once you've been
Beautiful.
able to make peace with yourself, once you've come for, you're running together, once you're good,
Beautiful.
then you can now move on to, okay, let me talk to my dad, let me talk to my mom. And once you can, it continues like that, and that kindness continues to cascade down the line, and then so that's how it is. That's just what I think.
Thank you very much, Uche. Actually, just to expand a little bit about the anecdote you are mentioning, this guy was new to the running club on the Wednesday, and when the first session he came, and he said that he spent some time in another prison, and now he had to stay at HMP Grampian for a while. And they immediately decided to join the running club, to start to engage in a path of being more healthy. Running to him inspired the idea of becoming healthier. And after the session, just after one run, 1 hour run, immediately came to me and he said, this evening I want to call my dad to tell him that I'm changing a little bit the direction. And I think, of course, I was very, very touched and happy about what he said. But as you are saying, you're also expanding my understanding of the importance of that episode, which is I think and again, and this made me reflect more on health itself, which is not just being better individually. So this guy immediately thought, I want to tell my dad. So there's immediately a moving beyond your boundaries and immediately share that you start to feel better with others. And this is really crucial that probably you remember when I came to RGU and I synthesized probably in not giving enough value or but for me it is really it's really a nice, very, very important book from Margaret Hanna, who has been who led NHS in Fife for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and she wrote Humanizing Healthcare. And from my point of view, a very quick synthesis of that book is that she says, you can't be healthy alone. So I think again this relates with what you were talking about. So this guy immediately said, I wanted to call my dad. Yeah, because it's not enough that you have good measurements, good data to know that you're fit, but you want to share this this becoming healthier with someone else, especially with people of that are around you that you love, and this makes you feel more and more better. So you become healthier and healthier. You engage in a path. So that's really important in the world we live in, as you were talking about in Nigeria, but I don't think it's so much different here in Scotland and in other places, unfortunately, where actually we tend to, for many reasons that are also very important reasons, to just say that you're healthy if you meet some parameters and they don't look to the bigger picture, the relational picture of the individual. So what we are trying to do with Run Forever is exactly in that direction. So one other thing that I'm really curious to know, you said when we were sending email to each other, I was curious to know if you run, if you're a runner yourself.
I do not. I do not run. I do not run. My running joke is that I'm allergic to physical exercise. Which
Okay.
is weird. I've tried it a couple of times. I can never. So it's something that. I guess maybe the difference is I'm always running. The times I run, I'm running alone, and you when you're doing something alone, it's sometimes it exposes one's lack of mental strength. So I guess that's a
True,
flaw I
true.
can admit to. But when you're when you're running in a group with your partner, there's this tendency to want to show up for the group, you want to show up for the people that you're running with. So since
That's
I have
another thing that maybe we can think about. So I already told you maybe we can go running together
Yeah,
sometime.
definitely,
And
definitely.
just to mention, just to let you know, one of the ideas that we are trying to see if we are able to propose in the prison is that there are many park runs around the world now, and there are also several here in Aberdeenshire. And one idea that we are trying to see if it will be possible is to propose a park run in the prison. And as you're saying, that's where probably running can overcome the being just an individual, just being an individual practice. I participated just in one park run. I did many races in my life, but to park run, it was just the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it was a really nice experience because actually it's even beyond the race. It's not just a race. You are measured. It's true. You have your time, but it's not just that. So you can participate in running. You can just walk, or you can be just a volunteer. So there are many things that are really interesting. And of course, one key thing for park runs is that it's an appointment, a constant appointment every Saturday morning at 9:30. If you start, so that's really important. In Aberdeen, there are a couple. There is one on the beach, another one in Aislehead Park, and then there's another one in Crates Castle. So it's quite interesting. And one idea could be, since I discovered that in the south of England, they have already done to have a park run inside the prison, is to propose to HMPG to have their own park run inside the prison. And if this could happen, it can bring us to a further level in a sense, because now we are organizing races, we are participating in different races. But to have really a park run every Saturday would be great, because it reinforces what you were talking about before, this idea of a routine, so with an established routine inside. And this also gives also us another interesting perspective, which is the transition of prisons from inside to outside is really critical. Of course, it will not solve the problem, but
It's fine.
if we are able to have a park run inside the prison, when prisoners will be released, they will find the same kind of races when they are outside. So it gives them a kind of at least an anchor to their lives, a point of reference, which can be helpful. And coming again to yourself, maybe we can meet sometimes to run a park run together and see
Oh no,
how
definitely, definitely,
run or
definitely.
walk a park run would be.
You will run, I will walk.
Yes, but
Whichever one works, that's fine. That's the life, right?
it would be nice, I think.
It would be nice. It's
So well, I don't know if you have well, I had in mind many ideas, and I was actually very happy when you said that, when you wrote back to me, because sometimes you go and give this presentation in front of big numbers of people, but then very rarely people really get back. So thank you very much for this, which I really appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you
And
for the
one very
presentation.
final thought, if we wanted to, if you have still a little bit of a few minutes more
No,
to
sure, I
talk,
do.
I wanted to know if what you think about this idea of generations, because now let me just introduce a little bit this idea, and then I want to know what you think. There's this very interesting anthropologist who has also been my PhD supervisor, whose name is Tim Ingold, who recently wrote a book about generations. And I following him, I really appreciate all his work, his clarity, his sobriety. It's really very interesting. So what he says basically is that generations, young generation, the adults, and then the older generations in our society generally are kept separate. So younger and older generations, they are not part of the building of the future.
Building.
So the future is in the hands of the generation of now, what he calls the generation of now, which is the generation of the adults, the people who are working generally. And instead, and he recognizes it for many different reasons that he is really very able to explain. And of course, I don't give justice to his thought if I try to synthesize everything now. I'm just summarizing very briefly. What he says is that that is actually a problem. To keep those generations separate is a problem. And he offers a different image, which is quite interesting. And in a sense, our conversation today is a way of going in that direction. Is that from his point of view, generation should be like the fibers of a rope. So fibers of a rope, they twist together and they become a rope by twisting, by the movement of twisting together. And of course, each fiber has a certain length. And of course, it has a beginning and an end. But it crosses with other fibers of different lengths at different points, so that when one finishes, the other continues. And there's no interruption there between the lives of those fibers. And I think it's a kind of a very poetic and interesting image, probably to bring in our own lives, so that this twisting, this movement of twisting the fibers together, can be paralleled to conversations. So a conversation could be a way of twisting the fibers of different lengths of life, different people of belonging to different generations, to actually belong to the same rope. So, of course, I am personally 54 years old. You are much, much younger. So, from my point of view, this conversation is also a possibility of twisting our lives together. I don't know if it will ever happen, and I want to lower also the expectations. I don't want to put too high expectations. But the importance of having this conversation is quite interesting, I think. So here, let's listen together to what Tim Ingold says, just for a couple of minutes.
In other words, we have to think differently about generations. Instead of imagining every generation as being like a layer, and then you're adding layer upon layer, like pages in a book, with each generation adding its own page, we have to think rather, we have to have a different image of generations overlapping, rather like the fibers of a rope. Imagine a rope. It's made out of fibers. It could be of grass or any kind of organic fiber. And the rope is made by taking a bunch of fibers and twisting them. And as you twist, you're continually adding new fibers. And then after you've made each twisted thing, you then twist those twists with one another. But the key thing is that every fiber, every length of grass or whatever you're using, is indeed of a finite length. It's only so long. And in the same way, we could say the life of a human being or the life of an animal only lasts so long. Every life has its own particular span. But when you twist the rope, you're continually adding new fibers in as old ones give way. So that although every life has a limited span, the rope itself can continue indefinitely. But the important thing here is that the lives that one's twisting together are laid alongside one another longitudinally. So that if we think in terms of the analogy of the rope, generations are not added one on top of the other, each in its own plane of synchrony, layered upon each other in a diachronic sequence, but rather individuals are continually, their lives are continually overlapping, and they're creating that future through their own overlap. So although no one lives forever, the introduction of new lives as old lives pass means that life can continue without end. And just as when you make a rope, it's the way the fibers twist around one another that give the rope its tensile strength. So also in life, the old and the young must carry on their lives together to lay an assured path for generations to come.
Important. I think I also looked at the video as well, and I found it very interesting. He said something where, you know, we talk about sustainability, and it's always difficult to talk about sustainability when it's just one generation that is in charge of making the changes, you know.
Because
yes, you have if you don't get the opinions of, you know, the older generation and the younger generation, as ignorant as you claim they might be about such situations, whatever solution you're making doesn't factor them, it doesn't consider them. So you end up just always creating a future for a generation that might not even be willing to live it. So for example, if we're walking today and we're saying, okay, we're creating a generation for people of the future, but like the future we're creating, we are, by the time the future arrives, in that sense, you would be part of the older generation, in which case it's the generation that you ignored that now has to leave this future that you have created without their consent. So I think it brings into one of my favorite aspects about community engagement is when you have to ask the community that what is it they want, what's strong with them. And I feel like in building our world and sustainability, we need to be able to ask children, as ignorant as they are, what kind of world they would like to live in, how would they like to be part of the processes. And even for the older generation, their experience is important in crafting, you know. It says that history teaches lots of lessons, but we are never listening. And by always feeling like this generation of the now has all the answers, we keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And you know, so it's actually very interesting. Like he said, I don't know how we are going to but I think the first step,
Tim is very honest in that, because of course he suggests a very interesting idea. Then of course, since we are all enmeshed in a world that is framed within separations, it's so difficult to imagine the possibility of going beyond them practically, you know, in practice. But I think we, as he says, and he is encouraging all of us to use imagination, for our lives, for our world.
It is. So we'll just have to find a way, because it's very important, you know, to have their inputs, to see things differently. I don't know, I'm struggling, you know. It's in reaching the age where I am now, next year I'll be 30. I'm struggling to, this wasn't the sort of adulthood that I saw when I was growing up, you know. When I look back and think of how I imagined my adulthood going, it feels like I've been thrown left field. Like it feels, would there have been a way to engage me more in the process? of my becoming an adult, how much of it happened to me through the actions of people who have no idea who I am, you know. So this is where that conversation really struck a chord with me. We need to, if not, we continue to create adults who are disillusioned by the systems they are in, who are disillusioned by the societies they are in, and then they feel like they need to totally destroy, and then you get these extremes of things because now they're just trying to make new ways for themselves, which aren't really new because they've been done before.
Yeah, that goes to, you were starting to talk about the notion of sustainability, where Tim actually says very directly that that notion is cannot contemplate within itself the notion of progress in the way we think of it. So, and progress as building something continuously new, destroying the old, is one other side of the problem we are witnessing.
Exactly. So it's I think once being aware of the issue is a huge first step, and then as we go about, you know, our daily things, as we design things within our own communities, our own spheres, taking these things into mind, you know, we can hopefully become a beacon, you know, examples for other people to model things off. So, oh, look at that thing they are doing. They are doing it really good. They are using this new style. And then that opens the way for, you know, more change. And it's a little here and there, but hopefully.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Uche. Very interesting and conversation, and thanks for your time, actually.
So
hopefully we stay in touch, and maybe we can invent ways of developing Run Forever also through your energies. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.